Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you've got a comment, please email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Be sure to cast your vote for the show on Podcast Alley, podcastalley.greatdetectives.net, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, today is the day we'll bring you the last adventure of the Abbots. And I should note that the following year, Mandel Kramer, who has taken over the role of Pat Abbott for these last 5 weeks, would actually come back to radio during the 1956 season with a show that has been labeled basically a knockoff of the Abbots. It's called It's a Crime, Mr. Collins. I've not listened to the program too much. We may end up playing it. I just have enjoyed the Abbots so much that I don't want to listen to It's a Crime, Mr. Collins too close to when we're playing the Abbots so that I don't make an unfair comparison. Well, this has, again, been a tremendous series, and we're going to get into this episode in just a second. Before we do, I'd like to encourage you, if you've not already, pick up a copy of my book, Tales of the Dim Night. It is a great superhero comedy with a lot of homages paid to the great superheroes of years past. Your fan you'll recognize quite a bit. Plus, it's also got a great family story. It's available in paperback or as an ebook. Go to dimnight.com. Well, we're going to get into today's episode of The Abbots, The Murder of a Fabulous Redhead.
After all, suppose you were arrested on suspicion of murder and your husband was out chasing a beautiful redhead with $100,000. You think you've got troubles,
The National Broadcasting Company presents The Adventures of the Abbots, starring Claudia Morgan and Mandel Kramer as Pat and Jean Abbott, those popular characters of detective fiction created by Francis Crane. NBC invites you to join Pat and Jean for another exciting recorded adventure in romance and crime. Now here is Jean Abbott to set the stage for tonight's puzzle in murder.
Pat and I were having our breakfast coffee. We do kind of a switch on the husband and wife routine at breakfast. Pat's hungry. He gobbles up pancakes and sausages and concentrates on his eating. Me? Well, I bury my nose in the morning paper. Pat's business as a private detective keeps him so busy he doesn't have too much time for the news. So, well, I'm the poor man's John Cameron Swayze. I tell Pat what's new.
Well, go ahead, pal. Let's hear it.
Your insurance all paid up, Pat?
Why?
Your days are numbered. They're knocking off private detectives in this town like pins in a bowling alley.
Well, who'd they get this time?
Well, the paper says your friend Charlie Brooks was shot last night in his office.
Well, that isn't surprising. Anyway, Mr. Brooks was no friend of mine, darling. I warned him. He was getting into some very crooked deals.
He was looking for a woman named Paula Sterling, it says.
Probably found her. Only somebody didn't like it, so they shot him.
Who's Paula Sterling?
I passed.
I thought maybe she was somebody in the gossip columns of those silly magazines.
And you should know, dear, you read them.
Out of morbid curiosity, that's all. Anyway, you'd better let this be a lesson to you. Take me along in all your murder cases, and I'll keep you out of trouble.
Yes, you're very helpful.
Your wife isn't a good detective,
Terrible.
She good for anything at all?
I doubt it.
How about this?
Yes. Now that you mention it, she does have talent along certain lines.
While Pat and I were at breakfast, a man we'd never heard of, a Mr. Sharbert, was talking to a hood who worked for him, a hood named Julian. They were in Charlotte's very expensive and lavishly decorated apartment.
I'm telling you the truth, Sharpie. Now, when I got there, this private eye, this Charlie Brooks, he was dead.
Julian, doesn't it strike you as odd?
Doesn't what?
I hired Brooks to find Paula Sterling. He was going to tell me last night where he found her. Then he was murdered, about the time you got there.
You think I saw the killer?
I don't know, my dear Julian. I'm merely speculating.
I didn't have nothing to do with it.
I'm still looking for Paula Sterling, Julian.
Well, how am I going to find her, Mr. Sharpie?
The private detective did. You're as bright as he is.
Yeah, but he got two bullets in him for finding her.
Yes, Julian. And somebody might get bullets in them for not finding her.
Me, for instance, Mr. Sharpie?
You, for instance, my dear Julian.
I walked Pat over to his office in one of San Francisco's newest skyscrapers. Figured I'd kibitz on a case or two. Pat hates it, but me? I worry about him. I also worry about the women that parade into his place. The one we found in his waiting room, for example.
I'm Dorothy Strickland, Mr. Abbott.
Oh? Well, do sit down. This is my wife, Jean.
Oh, how do you do,
Miss Strickland?
Not here in the ante room. My private office, Miss Strickland.
Well, thank you.
Wait here, Jean. Jean, come back here. I said wait here.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. Now, you see, perhaps Miss Strickland wants to talk to me confidentially.
Well, that's what I thought.
Read some magazines out here, chum. Newspapers, whatever you like.
Okay. Oh, say, here's something. Pershing says he has the Kaiser on the run. Where do you get these magazines? From your dentist?
Now, what's on your mind, Miss Strickland?
I want you to find my sister-in-law.
Why?
So my brother can sue her for divorce.
I'm very sorry, but I don't get mixed up in divorces.
But she may have been murdered.
Really? What makes you think so?
She's been missing for 6 months.
Well, that doesn't mean she was killed, unless you have some special knowledge.
Don't start accusing me. I don't like innuendos like that.
I'm just trying to get the story straight. What's your sister-in-law's name?
Paula Sterling.
Oh. Her again.
Paula Sterling's her maiden name. She's originally from Los Angeles. Why did you say her again?
Her name was in the morning paper.
Yes. Very unfortunate. That private detective.
The fact that he was killed looking for her is hardly tempting.
Well,
to
hear
me
out first. Hmm?
The divorce her fault?
No. My brother Stuart is young, and, well, he's fallen in love with someone else.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, could Paula have disappeared so your brother can't find her and serve her? Is she blocking the divorce that way?
Absolutely not. That's why I know something must have happened to her.
Anybody else mixed up in her life? Another man, maybe?
None that I know of.
Is she psychologically sound? No possibility of amnesia?
That's out of the question.
Hmm. Do you have any idea why the first detective hired on the case was murdered?
None. Are you frightened? Is that why you won't look for Paula?
I don't scare quite that easily, Miss Strickland, but I do like to know who's holding what cards.
You've got to take the case. I need your help terribly. Isn't there anything that will persuade you?
Perhaps.
I think I'd know a way, except there's an obstacle.
Oh? What way is that?
Well, let's say the obstacle's in the ante room.
My what?
Well, sometimes it's easier to win a man to your own way of thinking if there isn't a wife in the picture.
Oh, well, skip that. Married or not, I still have a peculiar feeling I don't like risking my neck unless I have to. Now, tell me, what does Paula look like?
Well, she's 5'3". She weighs 115 pounds, has beautiful red hair, lovely big blue eyes. They say she looks a little like me.
Oh, lovely eyes, beautiful hair, looks like you. You're the modest type, I see.
No, just telling you the facts. That's what you wanted, isn't it?
Speaking of facts, Miss Strickland, let's face a very interesting one. The fee.
Hope it won't be exorbitant.
Well, you know, stuntmen get a lot of money. That's because their assignments might be fatal. Now, you were asking me to walk the same road that a colleague of mine just walked, and he's in the morgue.
All right, name your figure.
5,000. Find her or not.
Well, would that settle it? Then you'd accept?
Probably.
I'll dig up the money, somehow, some way. The deal, 5,000. Of course, if it could be less, and even a little less...
You're asking me to find a woman nobody's been able to locate in 6 months. She's very attractive. In spite of what you say, she's undoubtedly involved with men, and some of them are obviously hoods. They just knocked off the guy who finally did find her. And you've no really valuable clues. There'll be nothing less, Miss Tripton.
All right, I'll pay.
All right, then you're on.
Will you start immediately?
Immediately.
You're a darling. Hmm? I could just kiss you.
Well...
Was I interrupting something?
Jean, dear,
yes.
You see, she got excited because I consented to take the case. Do you have a pencil, darling? I want to take down Miss Strickland's number.
I think you've already got her number.
Look, I came here to hire services, Mrs. Abbott, not to indulge in second-rate wisecrack.
You also didn't come here to kiss my husband. Or did you?
Here, I'll write my number on this pad. There we are.
All right, I'll call you the moment I learn anything, Dorothy.
Learn anything? Brother, if I hadn't come in, you'd have graduated with honors in about 5 minutes.
I was talking about the case.
Well, I wasn't. Now, isn't that odd?
I'm very grateful, Mr. Abbott, and goodbye, Mrs. Abbott.
Goodbye, Miss Strickland.
That's a sweet girl.
Husband snatcher.
Darling, you don't know what this involves.
I certainly do. I listened on the intercom.
1 million people in San Francisco, and I have to find one redhead. You know, that's like looking for a cheap apartment.
I have a feeling I can clean up this case with one call.
And I have a feeling that you've flipped.
Just listen.
Hello?
May I please speak to Paula Sterling?
Well, this is Paula Sterling.
But this is the office of Pat Abbott. Are you from Los Angeles?
Well, yes.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to know.
Well, hello?
Well, my fine, high-class private detective with the big problems. What have you got to say now?
Well, that couldn't possibly be the same Paula Sterling. Dorothy's been looking for her for almost 6 months.
Well, maybe she wasn't trying very hard. She's living at the Beverly Arms.
Well, how did you know?
Elementary, my dear Abbott. I looked it up in the phone book. Well, Pat, what does the nameplate say?
It says Paula Sterling, all right, but it can't be the same one.
What's the matter?
Not locked.
Nobody home?
Let's try the bedroom. Somebody hit this place like a hurricane.
What could have they been looking for?
Same thing we are. Paula Sterling.
Well, they couldn't have expected to find her in any of these drawers. If you ask me, this was a conventional robbery.
Well, darling, you talked to her just 15 minutes ago.
Well, so what?
Well, if this were a conventional robbery, then the burglar might still be... What happened to those lights?
I don't know.
Turn them on.
They won't work.
Fuse must have gone. Don't move.
That's good advice. Why don't you take it, too?
Get that flashlight out of my eyes.
Well, Pat Abbott the detective, right?
Have we met?
Not formal, no. I saw you in a courtroom once. Oh, you did real good. But you won't this time. Not with this dame.
Which dame?
Paula Sterling, the dame with you.
I am not a dame. I'm Mrs. Pat Abbott.
That must be fun.
I could have more fun, pal, pushing your wise guy face...
Never mind that. It'd get us all in a jam.
I didn't hear your name.
Call me Julian.
All right, Julian. We're looking for Paula Sterling, too.
My boss would like to know that.
Who's your boss?
Mr. Charvet. He's a very nice guy. You know, you ought to meet him. In fact, you ought to meet him right now.
Maybe I don't want to.
Maybe you don't see this 38.
All right, we'll meet him. I love cordial invitations like that.
All right, folks. Step inside.
Just quit shoving, Julian.
Hello, Mr. Charvet.
And precisely what is this uproar about?
Oh, it's just what the doctor ordered. Meet Paula Sterling, Mr. Charvet.
Paula Sterling?
You don't recognize her?
My dear Julian, I told you Paula was a redhead. This lovely girl is not.
Oh, hear that, Pat? This lovely girl?
Well, I found both of them in Paula Sterling's apartment.
I'm extremely sorry. I didn't quite catch your name.
My name is Abbott. Pat Abbott.
The renowned detective? I am impressed. What were you doing in Paula's apartment?
Just looking.
For what?
I heard there was a vacancy.
I wonder if we have time for these little ventures into irrelevant humor.
Okay, we'll leave.
What is your interest in Paula Sterling?
A client of mine wants to locate him.
Perhaps we can join forces. I'm looking forward, too.
Thank you, no.
You're uncooperative, aren't you, Mr. Abbott?
Give me a crack at him, boss. He'll cooperate.
Would you like Julian to go to work on you?
Sure, if he'll put down that gun.
Where is Paula, Mr. Abbott? Julian, I don't approve of violence.
Pat, are you all right, dear?
Of course he is. Help him up, Julian.
Never mind. Put the gun down, pal. I'd like a crack at you myself.
Did Julian change your mind, Abbott?
I'll change his face for him.
Oh, Pat.
Julian, Mr. Abbott will be of little use to me unconscious or dead. Unless I decide he hasn't the information I want.
He's got it. And I'll get it out of him.
Mr. Abbott, I'm not doing this for amusement. Paula Sterling worked for me until she disappeared with $100,000 of mine. I want it back.
Want me to answer?
Never mind. Hello? Yes? Yes. You have? Oh, that's splendid. Accept my apologies, Mr. Abbott.
What for?
An error. It's been rectified. One of my employees phoned in. Imagine. He just found Paula Sterling.
Pat, you haven't said a word since we left Charlotte.
I've been thinking, darling.
Well, it's about time, the way you were being pushed around.
I want to see Dorothy Strickland.
Business or pleasure?
You got the key to the office?
Mm-hmm. Here.
I'll turn on the lights.
Pat, look. Near your desk.
Stay where you are, Jean. I'll take a look.
Well, if she's asleep, don't disturb her.
I couldn't possibly disturb her. She's dead.
Oh, no.
We finally found Paula Sterling.
Why was she killed here?
Remember when you spoke to her on the phone?
Uh-huh.
You said this is Pat Abbott's office. Well, she must have come down here to find out what was going on, and Charbert's hoods were waiting for her.
You're a bad guesser, Abbott. I'd like to be your bookmaker.
You know, this is the second time you've snuck up on me, Julian. I'm getting annoyed. And get that gun out of my face.
I've been tailing you ever since you left Charbert's place. That phone call was a phony. Charbert figured when you heard we found Paula Sterling, you'd go where she was hiding out to check.
Well, he's a bad guesser, too.
Why'd you knock her off?
Don't be an idiot. I just got here. You know that.
Yeah, but how long does it take to knock a dame off and roll her for a dough?
Give me the phone.
Who you calling?
The cops.
Forget it. It's a crummy idea.
No, you've got a better one?
Yeah. I got a better one.
Take it easy, Pat.
Darling, where's Julian?
Gone. Coming back with Charlotte.
You know, I'd like to get Julian sometime when he isn't armed.
Well, don't try to get up. I already called the police.
I didn't want to take a chance disarming him. Kind of you. Wild shot, you know. Honey, why don't you go to the movies?
I'd rather be with you.
Do you have any shopping to do?
I'd rather be with you.
Jean, you're lousing up the case.
You're wrecking our marriage, Pat.
Okay, but I'm not responsible. Come along with me.
The phony. Pat, I mean. He sneaked to a phone booth and got his pals over at police headquarters and had them pick me up. They took me to headquarters, invited me to play gin. Oh, I was furious. I threatened to sue for false arrest. Well, they said I was a witness. That was true, and I had no comeback. But I vowed then and there to fix Pat's wagon if it was the last thing I did. I don't mean his station wagon. While I was fuming and fussing in custody, Julian was calling his boss.
Is that you, Mr. Sharpard?
Yes, Julian.
Listen, wait till you hear this. It's the screwiest thing. Who do you think killed Paula Sterling?
She's dead?
The cops just picked up Pat Abbott's wife.
Now, that is odd.
You better kiss your 100 grand goodbye. Gone with the wind, pal.
Perhaps you're right. Come by and see me, Julian.
What for?
I'll pay you off.
You didn't have to drive me to the airport, Mr. Sharpert.
I'm delighted to do it, Julian. It's the least I could do under the circumstances.
Hey, wait a minute. You made a mistake.
Did I?
Should have taken that left turn.
Oh, how stupid of me.
Why are we stopping here?
Something just occurred to me.
Did it?
Yes. Julian, who stands to gain the most from Paula Sterling's death?
Well, Pat Abbott.
Why do you say that?
Well, he could knock her off, grab the dough.
Incredible. Abbott is a world-famous detective. He's turned down more money than that. Extremely ethical.
Maybe his wife swung it, huh?
Don't be absurd.
Who does that leave?
You, my dear Julian.
Me? What are you getting at?
Suppose you committed the murder. He wouldn't have to split the take with anyone.
Oh, come on.
You have the money with you, Julian? Or shall we drive somewhere and pick it up?
Put that gun away.
Let go, I tell you. Let go. Price of stupidity, my dear Julian. To live by violence is to die that way.
Be darned. Pat Abbott.
Hello, Dorothy. Can I come in?
Can you? Step right in. Tell me, why are all the attractive men married?
Skip it. We've business.
Where's your wife?
Didn't you hear me?
Yeah, tell me where she is.
At police headquarters. I couldn't afford to let her go wandering around town on this case. Too many trigger-happy people in it.
Trigger-happy? Who?
Your sister-in-law worked for a man named Victor Sharbert.
Have you found her?
Yes.
Where is she?
My office.
I'll get my coat. I'll be with you in a minute.
Wait a second. I have bad news for you.
She's ashamed to see me. That's it, huh? That's all right.
It isn't that.
What are you trying to tell me?
She's dead.
Oh, no. Well, that's awful.
She wasn't the young innocent, Dorothy. She was mixed up with a rough crowd. She stole $100,000.
But do you realize what you're saying?
Sure.
Yeah, but that doesn't make sense. I mean, Paula was a simple, sweet girl. She didn't need Sharbert's money.
I can't convince him of that.
Well, you're wrong. There's a mix-up.
Yes, there is a mix-up.
What do you mean?
You said she had beautiful red hair and blue eyes.
Well?
Her hair wasn't naturally red like yours. It was dark at the roots. It was the first thing that struck me when I saw the body, and also, she was about 2 inches shorter than you.
Well, what difference does that make?
Well, I know you haven't seen her in months, and girls do dye their hair.
Now, wait a minute, you've lost me. I can't seem to think straight. Now, the shock, I guess. Knowing Paula's dead.
Paula Sterling isn't dead.
But you just...
The girl in my office is dead, all right, but not Paula. You're Paula Sterling.
Oh, no, now, really? If you're trying to be clever...
No, not very clever. Tell me, how do you know she took Sharbert's money? I didn't say it was his. But you did.
I just presume, since you mentioned his name...
No, it was too easy when Jean found your name in the phone book. I should have had the answer then. What surprises me is that Sharpert never thought of looking there.
Sure he did, but it wasn't there when he looked. I waited until today when the new phone listings were published before I walked into your office.
That was very thoughtful. Who is the dead girl in my office?
My double, and she did it well, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, now if we're all through...
We're not through. Mm-hmm.
You have a license for that gun, Dorothy?
Nope, but it won't bother me. The police will think that Charbert killed you when they find your body.
You want to make a deal?
Go ahead, talk.
I'll get you a great lawyer. You could plead insanity.
Yeah, on what grounds?
Trying to get away with this. You'd have to be nuts to try it. Now, you better put away that gun. Those things go off sometimes. Did you kill anybody else besides your double? Charlie Brooks, maybe?
Uh-huh, Charlie Brooks. He got wise. He stumbled on the truth. He wouldn't listen to me, and he acted like a Boy Scout, the way you're acting. And he ended up dead, the way you will.
Maybe not.
Oh, you want part of the $100,000, huh?
Maybe.
How much?
Half.
For what?
Keeping my mouth shut. You know, the heat to get whoever kills me will be terrific. Now, that's playing it your way. Now, think of mine. I say nothing, pin a rap on Charbert, get him out of the way, and we're both clear. They'll never find out who got
Brooks. Now, wait a minute. You talk too fast. I gotta think.
Just think of being in the clear. Now, think.
Don't get so close to me.
I don't want the gun.
You're not made of ice water, after all.
Who could be? Ever look in a mirror?
I thought you came here on business.
Well, I did.
Mom! Let go!
Pat, are you all right?
Yes, Jean. Get up, Dorothy. Police downstairs, darling?
Yes, Prowlcott. I talked him into coming here. I had a notion you'd make yourself a target.
Dirty girl.
Out the door, Dorothy.
Down. You didn't want to
kill. Let's go see those boys.
You never did. I bit for an old dog.
Oh, that's nothing. We all do that. Darling, I told you you'd come within inches of a bullet. That shot she fired. Lucky it was wild.
Not as wild as I am, dear. Locking me up in the hoosegow. Chasing redheads. Kissing this woman.
Line of duty, pal.
Oh!
Ow! Hey, what's the idea of kicking a guy in the pants if he just captured a killer?
Well, I'm your wife, right? Line of duty, pal. Line of duty. Paula killed the girl in your office, Pat, right? But now, how did that help her?
Well, darling, once I told the police that Paula Sterling was dead, Charbert accepted it and would give up looking for her. He suspected Julian of double-crossing him.
You're guessing.
No, I'm not. They just picked up Charbert and he confessed.
Well, where's Julian?
The coroner's got him.
So, the reason Dottie came to you was to have you establish that Paula Sterling was dead.
Absolutely right. You see, that left her free to take a powder with Charbert.
Fine. So now you collect from your client, and the case is closed.
Well, my client was Paula Sterling, alias Dorothy Strickland. I just nailed her for homicide, so I'm afraid she won't pay me a dime.
Oh, that's what I like. A husband who's a good businessman, makes money, protects himself, takes care of his wife and home. Total profits on this venture, $0, 0 cents. Well, Pat, one more wonderful case like this, and we'll be bankrupt.
Darling, you mean you love me for my money alone?
Is there something else?
Give me a...
Oh. Pat.
Yes, darling?
I don't care if you haven't a cent. I don't care if you're a terrible businessman. Mm-hmm. Nothing matters. Except one thing. Get a deposit on the next case. Okay.
Thank you.
Adventures of the Abbots has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Welcome back. Well, Gene has a definite point. He definitely ought to get a deposit, as and a lot of private investigators would do well to follow that practice. When we're talking about radio PIs, as they often end up with either dead clients or who can't pay them, or jailed clients who won't pay them. Well, now we turn to listener comments and feedback. Larry comments on Podcast Alley, keep up the good work. It is obvious you enjoy what you're doing, and it shows in your end product. I'm sure that there are others out there that appreciate the hard work and the time you put into these programs. I'm glad that I found you a couple years ago. Even though I can get these programs elsewhere, I enjoy yours the most. Appreciate your commentary, even though others may not. You have greatly improved over time, sound quality much better than in the beginning. Again, keep up the work. And Larry from Pahrump, Nevada. Well, thanks, Larry. Glad to know that things are getting better as we go. Well, that'll do it for this week and for the Adventures of the Abbots. Join us next Monday for William Gargan in Ideal in Crime. And then 3 weeks after that, we'll begin into William Gargan in Barry Craig, Confidential Investigator. In the meanwhile, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us over on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and feel free to give us a call, 208-991-4783. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.